You are listening to the Mindful Marketing Show podcast, episode 11.
Welcome to the Mindful Marketing Show with Kimberly Maska. You are about to be empowered as we teach you the best marketing strategies used by today's spiritual entrepreneurs. Get ready to share your message and inspire people worldwide.
Hello, I am Kimberly Maska, your Mindful Marketer, and I would like to welcome you to the relaunch of the Mindful Marketing Show, the podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs who are ready to change the world with their gift and have a business that reflects their authentic self. To celebrate the relaunch, I have a free gift for you. It is the Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business Guide. In it, you will find all of the tools you need to, well, jumpstart your spiritual business and create an abundance of time, money, and freedom. Don't wait to share your gift with the world. Get your copy of Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business today at mindfulmarketingshow.com. Now, before we jump in, this episode is brought to you by Kickstart Cart, my shopping cart of choice for myself and my clients. It has everything you need to create the business of your dreams with passive income, or as I like to call it, making money while you meditate. Picking the right shopping cart for your business is a big deal, and it can be very confusing. So what I have done is created a free workshop for you to help you through the decision-making process. You can find this free shopping cart workshop at mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. That is mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. Now let's listen to this episode. Enjoy. So Stephanie, thank you so much for joining me today. And how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Let's just start with, I've been looking over your website with Grateful Woman, and I really love the story behind it. So can you share with us your personal journey, how you went down the path to create Grateful Woman?
Sure. This is really good for anyone who is out there that feels like they know they have a message within them or a higher calling, or they know they're meant to do something else, but they don't really know exactly what it is. Because I knew it. Like, I was making phenomenal money as a consultant living in London. I was actually had already decided to move back. And despite like the money and the success and me actually enjoying being a consultant, like I still to this day, I enjoy being a consultant for big companies. I knew that there was something more I was meant to do. And it took me a while of just sort of navigating. And that's the scary part, where we can have the shiny object syndrome, where we keep trying to reach out for clarity. And one of the things that I will offer up as what I've learned was, don't look for any kind of coaching that you get to give you clarity. Look for your coaching to help you implement it. What you want to do is continue to just evolve and get clarity on who you are, who you want to serve, and how you want to serve them. And then help. For me, the most successful coaching products and systems that I've gotten were the things that helped me then implement this clarity. When I bought something or invested in something thinking, oh, well, that'll make it clearer, that was not for me. That never worked. So I knew I loved the way the play on the word grateful, that we spell grateful G-R-E-A-T-F-U-L. And the first time I wrote it, I even wrote great in caps and full in lowercase, where there was the sort of the greatness of great and the full of a full life, and with a core of gratitude. So it's that marriage of abundance and gratitude. I've always loved that. And at first I thought I wanted to serve women with, it was originally grateful sex, but the word got blocked, and then people were expecting me to be a sexpert, when really it was just about that our feminine, if we as women, the more comfortable that we are with our femininity, with our sensuality, with our sexuality, with ourselves as women, and the power of that, not as a negative to men, but just, you know, not having to be a woman in a man's world type thing. And the word just got blocked. The word, the women who wanted to hear it, like even just hearing the word sex, it stopped them. And I had to be willing to let go of it, for the higher good. And when I really let go, and I mean let go for like 3 months, where I'm like, I'm just not even sure I want to continue this. I make good money as a consultant. I found Grateful Woman, the idea of a single woman and the power of that. And when I had clarity in that, I had a coaching session with Lisa Nichols. It's one of my favorite stories. She was in my house, and she said it was going to be story about her storytelling, because I like to storytell and to, you know, get it from the best. And she said, what is it that you want? You know, and I knew that the politically correct answer, and like, I know everybody who's out there who's an infopreneur is going, I'm supposed to say a free offer and a book and a course and a retreat and a, you know what I mean? Like those are the answers I was supposed to give. And I just was so sick of it, because I didn't know. And I said, you know what I want? I want to live in Italy with my boyfriend Rafi, and I want Grateful Woman to be a viable business that I can do anywhere in the world. Huh. So there, you know, like not literally, but there was a little of that tone in it. And she just looked at me and went, okay, great.
That's fantastic.
And I was like, what? Right? I was like, and I realized in that millisecond, it was like, it was such clarity that I had created the false belief that I needed to choose between the life that I truly wanted and this entrepreneuring, this, you know, career that truly felt more passion, something that I wanted to serve people more. And the minute she said that, I just let go. I just let go at some really core level and got such clarity. And we said the word, it was actually Nicole Roberts Jones said, I said, I don't want to be a solopreneur either. I'm a very social person. I want people around me. And sometimes the solopreneur feels very, very lonely. And she said, Nicole said, well, why don't you do a telesummit? And I'm like, what's that? Like, I'm so new to this entrepreneurial world. I didn't even know what that was, which was a blessing because I didn't know how to do them mediocre. Like a lot of them out there are mediocre and unsuccessful. I heard the word telesummit and I'm like, well, what is that? And they're like, well, it's like on the telephone, right? And it's like a summit of people come together and you share lists and they all help you to get your message across and you give all this information. I was in. I come at this with over 20 years experience as a project manager, process optimization, training leadership. And I just realized that little inner project manager in me went crazy because I created Grateful Woman Talks, work consulting full time. And so my journey, it really, the core of my business came out of the core of the success for my telesummit that grew my list from 70 to almost 3,000 in 5 weeks. That was September of last year. And since then I built, you know, I listened to my audience and they were like, I want to be a speaker and I don't want to have to wait for the next telesummit. And so that's now a membership site. And some people are like, get writing on your first book. So I have Grateful Woman Talks, Giving From Your Overflow Starts With Self-Care, my first book coming out. And then there's telesummit success, where I created a program because I realized I had such success here and it wasn't a mistake and it was teachable to just share that knowledge with everybody who was a serious entrepreneur who wanted to make a difference. And I know I've been talking way too long for that answer, but I hope you see all the nuggets in that about the core of clarity. It is just once you are clear about something, fear just dissipates and you can focus on staying in action and then just stay in action little and often. Like I said, I consulted full time when I created this telesummit. So I don't want to hear people say they don't have the time to just keep that needle moving, you know, and then listen to your audience and how you want to take them to that next place. So the journey of Grateful Woman has been my journey, part of my journey, you know, over the last year, part of my journey as a Grateful Woman. And it has been truly the evolution of taking it from a hobby to a business.
Which is what we're all trying to do, right? What were the steps you took to turn it into a business?
Well, one of the first things I want to say is, you know, that we always hear monetize your passion. I don't think it's just monetizing your passion. I think it's the marriage of monetizing your passion, that thing that fires you, with the parts of you you can't help but do well. So for me, I can't help but be organized. I can't help but be a project manager. I can't help but be effective communicator. I can't help but, you know, these things are just in me. Like if you, no matter what the project is, everything from a party to whatever, I'm going to approach it from a place of organization, from a place of project manager, you know, I believe that the money lives in the marriage of our passion with those skills within us that we don't deny anymore. When I first started doing Grateful Woman and Grateful Sex, I was like, I don't want to do project manager. That's the old me. That was my head. That wasn't my heart, right? And yet, it wasn't until I unleashed my inner project manager that I couldn't suppress that I ended up having phenomenal success.
It just becomes part of who we are, right? I know I can't let that part of me go either, and it just comes out no matter what.
Right. And I think that a lot of entrepreneurs, they'll have success in their business. And they'll say, okay, but that's not my passion. My passion is X. And I feel like the money lives under the bridge. Like, if you could visualize this, between all the stuff that makes you really successful in your business now, in the business world now, whether you're an employee, a consultant, it doesn't matter, that there's money under that bridge. The bridge between that and your pure passion. And not just abandoning your past or quitting. Don't quit that job. Don't quit that job yet. Don't. It's a stream of income. It's what keeps us in a place of choosing from a place of love instead of a place of fear. And I mean, I'm not saying for everybody. I mean, I'm sure there's some people who are in a work environment that's phenomenally abusive, but there are a lot of people who just leave their job because they're like, well, that's not me anymore. Or I feel like I'm betraying my passion by continuing to be an accountant or a project manager or whatever, right? And then all of a sudden they don't have money and no longer can their passion just find its way organically. They have to start doing stuff to manipulate it because they don't have money coming in. So another thing I would say is step away from your current investor. The person that you work for now is investing in your future, and step away from them only when you're already stepping into a solid financial foundation.
Great bit of advice. And I love the analogy with the bridge. That's really beautiful.
We got everyone's leaving that money under the bridge because they're like, they just want to leap over. They just want to fly over that overpass. And I'm like, oh, I think that there's just buckets of money in that under the bridge. And the bridge also shows us the path. We don't always know exactly where we're meant to go, because I think it's also the marriage of our passion with what our audience needs.
Yep, absolutely. So how do you distinguish yourself from others in the same field? Do you take certain steps to make yourself different?
Definitely one of the things I do that sets me apart tends to be my level of quality, the level of quality with which I work. And in everything I do. So, you know, when I created Grateful Woman Talks, you know, I talk about spoiling your audience and spoiling your speakers, understanding what their needs are, and then just, you know, it's not just about giving more. It's about giving better. It's about making their lives easier, making it easier for people to be part of something, to invest in something. So, for example, Christine Closer does one of the most successful telesummits out there, Transformational Author Experience. It's amazing. She also was one of my stretch goals. I didn't really have a relationship with her. She was one of my stretch goals for my original telesummit. And, you know, I asked her, and I was sent to her business manager, Denise, and I got back this questionnaire that was like, where have you had success in this before? How many of these have you done before? How many Facebook fans do you have? How many of these? Right. And every answer was like more pathetic than the last. But I'm like, no way, man, because I'm in it to win it. Because I'm like, you know, how many Twitter followers? And I was like, well, 148, but I actually have a plan to build my Twitter following. And now I have like almost 11,000. Like and where it said, you know, have you done one of these before? No, but, you know, Lisa Nichols and Doreen Rainey and so-and-so are already on board. So everywhere I told my truth, I didn't try to lie. I told the truth and then said, but please factor this in. Because this is why I see you as part of this journey. And she said yes. Well, not only did she say yes, she's asked me to help her up-level her transformational author experience. She said, I've never been part of an event that was run more effectively, that was just more enjoyable to be part of and to contribute to. And so I think one of the things that sets me apart is also, and I don't think this is, I think this is what sets everybody apart. Oh, wait, so let me finish that thought and I'll breathe. And let you see if you have a question about that before I have the second one.
<I'm sorry.
laughs> When I do my Grateful Talks, I'm my own nightmare. I always tell my women, please speak slowly and breathe so that this can be a conversation. And I'm like not allowing you to do that. So I'm going to breathe now.
I love it. No, you were doing great. I love it.
Oh, okay. So the other thing I'd say is what sets me apart is exactly me. In other words, the me that you hear on Grateful Woman Talks is the me that coaches you in Telesummit Success, is the me that you hear on this podcast today. I am a little bit cheeky. I am a little bit fun. I do have a spiritual core. I am a dork about things. Like, I love dorky music. Like, I the more comfortable that I am with me, and the more comfortable that I can just allow me to come through in everything that I do, that is one of the things that sets me apart. It is about acknowledging where are my strengths and weaknesses, and playing into my strengths and delegating my weaknesses.
I was saying that's such a key thing, because with the entrepreneurs that we all are, we forget to delegate.
Right. Or like, I'm going through this right now where I'm editing. I've delegated the editing of my video for Grateful Woman Talks, and I've provided phenomenally anal detailed instructions. I just got back the video and they didn't do it. And like, a lot of the things I'm having to just, and I love them. And I just am right. And now I'm doing another one, and I'm just writing again. No, just re-implement that as I originally said. We're going to take another pass at it. And then, but ultimately, for me to buy video editing software to edit it myself. Also, it's a lot easier to have an opinion about something than to create something.
Right.
Like, when somebody sends you a video or a picture or artwork or whatever, and you have opinions about it, and you think, I could just do this. Lighten up. Like, unless you're a graphic artist, you really can't. And what you I had to have people, like a friend of mine, he's really funny, and he calls me on my stuff, and he's like, put down the graphics, just walk away. Like, you don't have the tools. You have awesome vision, opinion, layout. Like, you're really good at giving feedback, but you don't have the skills. So it is knowing where we have our strengths. And what you want is that person that, where you don't have strengths or don't have time, that this is something they love to do. They love it. They're people who live and love and breathe video editing.
And they're just so much better at it than we ever could be.
They will. And I can be all opinion. Right. And the truth is, I'm training them too, because I will use them again. So now we're establishing some standards of, okay, whenever there's text to the right of me on over the curtain next to me, I want it in Helvetica and in this, da, 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 you know what I mean? Like, then once we establish it, I throw them something else. They're going to know that when they even take a first stab at it, if they're going to put text over it, that's what's going to look like. Oh, that's another thing. All I've just said right there is a process. Wherever something is going to be repeatable, take the moment to write down what is that little process, what is that, or that style guide, or that choice. Document these choices and processes so that you can have the consistency. So that if somebody calls you up and says, how do you want your video to look? You can give them a style guide. Or how do you want your graphics to look? And you already have opinions about things like fonts, colors, backgrounds, photos, things like that. And just remember that it's always just going to evolve. It's never going to be I remember Pam Hendrickson telling us, you're not going to like your first product. Just accept that. And I was like, I want to like my first product. It's my first. That would be like saying, you're not going to love your firstborn. And all I can say to my entrepreneurs out there is, it's not the same, and you'll have a special place in your heart for your first product, but it may not be your favorite. So I'm not Grateful Woman Talks was my first commercial product, and I adore it. But my first product that I created was a guide. It's now called 6 Saucy Secrets of a Grateful Woman. It's my opt-in at gratefulwoman.com. And I first, it was like it was too many pages. It sort of read like an ebook, and we cut it back. But, all I can say is, allow yourself to be a work in progress. Allow yourself to be on the journey, but to not let being on the journey stop you from producing things. Like, be willing, like that phenomenal, like, I live by imperfect action beats perfect inaction every single time.
Yep. Just get over the hump. Just do it and then fix it later.
Right. I mean, but get the plane off the ground, because it's like, even right now, and I'm going to call myself out on it, the Grateful Woman Talks site right now, it's live. You can register. There are talks. Everything works. But I have not formally done my promotion launch, because there are a couple things that I want it to be a certain way. And so I can absolutely be my worst enemy. Now, it's out there, and I tell people that, but the truth is, we don't live in the land of, if you build it, they will come. This is not Field of Dreams. It's not. We have to go out. We cannot be quiet about our hustle. We've got to get out there and talk about it. And so I know that I need a full promotion of the membership site to give it, you know, it's just dues. Like, it's magnificent. And it's now, we're coming up on 60 talks. And there's the PDF transcripts and, you know, and you can experience them online and you get the downloaded MP3s and there's always free talks and there's a special investor only monthly call. And I mean, it's all there, right? But until I start doing my hustle, right?
Right. No one knows.
Nobody knows, right? They could go there and it's totally beautiful and sexy, but I've got to do my own hustle. So we're within days and weeks of that. But follow your money. Because it's all about priorities. Like, don't get too scattered. Like, my commitment this year was all I committed to complete this year, right? And now it's only beginning of July. But this year was Telesummit Success Program, which is already done, gone, launched, done. That's awesome, right? And then Grateful Woman Talks membership site. And then the book sort of snuck its way in. But when it comes to priorities of what I need to move forward, I always push the needle to Telesummit Success because that's giving me the financial freedom to continue to be able to do Grateful Woman full time.
Okay, so you talk a lot about your telesummits. So is that the best marketing strategy that's worked for you so far?
Right, and building my list, a telesummit has without a doubt been, I call it miracle growing my list. My coach has said expect about 300 opt-ins, and I had close to 3,000 opt-ins. And so for me, telesummits has been a really phenomenal way to really get to my target audience at a level that resonates with them and to really stay focused on the list-building part of it around the telesummit and not make it a pitch fest.
Right, perfect. And how do you determine your ideal client?
So I have two very distinct ideal clients. One of them is my Grateful Woman, and one of them is my Telesummit Success client. And I mean, part of it is just doing, part of it is an awareness of me, is understanding that, you know, what kind of a, you know, those archetypes, what kind of a communicator I am. But part of it is who's coming to me. Like, you start with you or your idea, if you already are coaching people who are your ideal clients, and start to describe them, and you hear the word avatar, they'll say, like, really, instead of just having this generic group of people, really try to create this one person, this one ideal client, that it, so that when you create audio or a video, you're talking directly to that person, knowing that you're actually talking to millions when you do that effectively. So for me, with the Grateful Woman, I started with what I wanted, and then I started talking to, you know, the people that I was coaching and asking what they wanted and things like that. But I would say, if you're in doubt and you are one of your own clients, start with you and then just keep asking questions to find out what kind of music do they, you know, would they listen to, and do they tend to be married? Do they tend to work, not work, kids? Do they have a house or an apartment? And this, none of this is a place of judgment. All of these are just for you to have such clarity of who you speak to, because then when you speak to them, they just hear you.
Which is so key, because I think sometimes people start down the path without actually knowing who their client is. And but if you just ask the questions, you can find out, which is beautiful.
Right. I just coached a client of mine the other day, and we were working on her snap, that her quick 30-second, you know, elevator thing, right? And I said, no, who is your ideal client? You know, and she said, people. And I'm like, okay, right. Let's go, right? And then by the end, we had created these three sort of very distinct avatars that she had for, she does event planning. So one of them was like a bride, one of them was like a business person, and one of them was like a wealthy, busy woman, right? And we were able to, in just even her little elevator pitch, give three little boom, boom, boom that just brought her to life for the person to whom she was speaking. Instead of like, you know, I'm an event planner for event. The more generic we keep things, that we're all in information overload.
Right. So true.
Absolutely. We just want the person to ask the next question. The answer isn't to give them the complete answer. It's to get to the next question.
Perfect. So in social media, which we all seem to use to one degree or another, how are you using it? Which one works better for you? What's your process for your social media?
Right. I picked a social media platform a year. So 2 years ago, I picked Facebook, and I've got like 4,000 friends on Facebook. And I try to, and I don't like just add anybody. It really is people sort of who tend to be. I don't actually ask people anymore. It's people who resonate with me, and then that feel like a good connection. But I also have Facebook fan pages for the products and things like that. And then last year it was Instagram, where I went from 146 and now I'm at about 10,600. And then this year it's Instagram. Now, what the thing I like about Instagram is it cross posts to Facebook and Twitter. So if I use my brain and I post something to Instagram, I have a beautiful picture. I have the text. It's not too wordy. And if I pay attention to the fact that only the first 100, maybe 100 characters are going to display in Twitter, it actually fine tunes my communication. So I don't like to face barf. You can't Twitter barf. So tweet all you want. Just tweet yourself, tweet chat, cross post from Facebook into Twitter, cross post from Instagram into Twitter, never go from Twitter back to Facebook, never go from Twitter back to anywhere. But you can't ever tweet too much. But you can face barf. And I try to keep Facebook at one to maybe two posts max per day. Same with Instagram, maybe one post a day. And I try to vary them from maybe an inspirational quote to a food that I'm eating, to a picture of my new puppy, to, you know, whatever it is that they can get to know the whole me. You know, because it's hard. If you have somebody who only ever posts inspirational quotes, you're like, yeah, you're inspirational. I get it. But you don't know who they are. If all they ever post are green smoothies, you're like, yeah, I get it. You're into green smoothies. Is there any more to you than green smoothies? So I try to let people see into little avenues of who I am. And I remember when I first started tweeting, it felt overwhelming because I thought I already share so much of myself. It felt like I didn't want to share more. And what I realized is it isn't that I need to share more of myself. It was that I needed to share myself more.
Gotcha. Oh, that's great. I love that. That is fantastic. And it's true. It's part of the whole platform building. They just want to know who we are.
Right. And I'm also in Pinterest and I have a YouTube channel, and I still am very frustrated about the fact that my YouTube channel's got like 5,000 views or something. So I don't want to abandon that channel, but you can't change the handle on it. One thing I make sure is that my handle for Instagram, Pinterest, and Twitter are all Grateful Woman. If I want to have Grateful Woman on YouTube, I need it as a new channel. So just an FYI to pay attention that you could change the handles of everything except for your YouTube channel, and really try to think about having, what would you want your handle to be like across all of them?
Gotcha. That's a really good point. Think that through first, a little planning for sure. So I know you have your book coming out, and I just wanted to talk a little bit whether you're self-publishing, whether you're using traditional publishing. So many people want to publish a book and want to know how. So what are your recommendations on what you're doing?
So this is perfect to what we had talked about before, in that this is not my wheelhouse, publishing. I know there are people out there who did it. So I actually won in the Transformational Author Experience a couple years ago with my book proposal that I haven't written yet for my Grateful Woman book in general. This book is Grateful Woman Talks. It's a collection of some of the best talks around the topic of giving from your overflow starts with self-care. And I knew I wanted more than one. I thought I want to, and so we're self-publishing, but I thought I want to establish a relationship with someone who, this is their wheelhouse. So I'm actually working with a woman. Her name is Donna Gunther, and she helped to take all the transcripts that I already had for my talks and make them read as chapters. And then she's handling all of the promotion, getting it, and then all of the launch of it, like onto Kindle, onto CreateSpace, physical book. So I will have a physical book and I will have the Kindle, but it's all through self-publishing, but I didn't try to do it myself.
And that's such a great point that I try and always take home with everybody, is that just self-publishing doesn't mean you do it yourself. You have to have a team in place to be able to do it right.
Exactly. And I liked what she was doing, and I was in another program with her, and so I chose her, and so far, we'll see. It's all good, right?
Perfect. So looking back on your journey, if you had to share a tip that you wish you had known then that you know now, what would that be?
I think it was the follow the money. I think it's listen to your audience and don't don't quit. I didn't quit my job. I didn't step away from my job until I knew, when I was a consultant and it was good money, but I didn't step away until I had some confidence of where it was going to go, as a where Grateful Woman was going to go. But it is the biggest thing that I try to really share with everyone, is that it's just a stream of income, that where whomever you work for now, it's just a stream of income, and we love streams of income, and that even if that's your only stream of income, that they're nothing but the investor in your future, and that some of the sure, no job is going to be perfect, but it's amazing how much of it is within our mindset and within our control. Now, specifically, what would I have done differently? I don't think I would have done anything differently except for give myself a break. Not expect me to know it all so soon, and to be willing to just keep trying and messing up and trying and messing up.
So important. We got to give ourselves that leeway for sure. So if any of my listeners wanted to reach you, where would they find you?
Sure. The fun thing is I actually just created a fun page. They can go to gratefulwoman.com. Now, remember how we spell grateful, G-R-E-A-T-F-U-L, because we want and deserve a life that is great and full. But it's grateful to spell one day, as I hope to be in the dictionary. They go to gratefulwoman.com. Right on that page, I put a whole bunch of buttons about if they want to find Grateful Woman Talks, if they wanted to talk to me about coaching, if they wanted to explore Telesummit Success, and if they wanted to connect. I also have gratefulwoman.com/connect, gratefulwoman.com also has all the social media. So I say, if you just go to gratefulwoman.com, yes, I want to re-record that video. I am perfectly imperfect. But that is a great way to find sort of all the different ways to play with me.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for your time. This has been fantastic. You've given so much information. I'm sure everyone's going to have to re-listen to take all their notes. It's been wonderful.
All right. Well, thank you so much, you guys. Have a great day.
You have been listening to The Mindful Marketing Show with me, your host, Kimberly Maska. You can get more information about this episode and all of my episodes at mindfulmarketingshow.com. There you'll find all of the show notes and links to the books and business resources we discussed. Again, that's mindfulmarketingshow.com. Until next time, be passionate, be inspired, and live your dream. Have a beautiful day.